Welcome to this week's installment of the 2015 SSDI podcast. These podcasts are intended to highlight outstanding tech-based economic development and program initiatives. Each of our five podcasts for this season will be winners of our 2014 Excellence in TBED Awards program. Today we will be speaking with Mark Harris, the President and CEO of the Illinois Science and Technology Coalition. IST's Corporate Startup Challenge was the 2014 winner of the SSDI Excellence in TBED Award for Most Promising TBED Initiative. This awards category is given out to the most exciting and innovative program that we've seen come out within the last 6 years. First, I'd like to thank you, Mark, for joining us today to talk about the program.
Great, thank you.
So I think I'll give our listeners a little bit of a background about the Corporate Startup Challenge and how it fits within the ecosystem of Chicago and, in general, the state of Illinois.
Sure. So the Illinois Corporate Startup Challenge is an initiative that really took life through the state Innovation Council a couple years ago, really with the idea of how we better bridge and connect different components of the innovation economy and ecosystem in Illinois. I think one of the things that Illinois particularly has a strength in is that we have a great concentration of Fortune 500 companies in a lot of different great diverse sectors, and really in the last few years have had a real growth in the entrepreneurial environment and culture, whether it's from our university programs, incubators, and research and tech parks and entrepreneurship center programs to new co-working spaces, incubators, accelerators that, in particular 1871, where we're housed, that oftentimes the communities have not converged as they could have for maximum value for both. So the council leadership really charged us with developing a program that could really provide value sort of on both sides of the equation for corporations that are looking for early insight into innovative and new technologies and sort of speed to market in new products and services, and for startups and emerging companies obviously needing this sort of access to customer validation of their products and services, access to funding and potential business development opportunities. So the way the program really is established is really kind of a really effective intermediary and matchmaker between those two communities.
I think you mentioned really the important part of this is two things, is the matchmaking process. Could you discuss a little bit about how that matchmaking process works and kind of what you're looking for when you're trying to match a corporation with a startup?
Yep. So the way the program is set up, every 6 months, we have a cohort of corporations. So what began initially as a pilot class about 2.5 years ago with Motorola Mobility, John Deere, Walgreens, Allstate, and Molex was a bit for us to really prove out the program and the process, and then we've now run it two subsequent times. We're in the process of recruiting our fourth class, so we're excited about the continued engagement we've had. And the way the process works is it really starts with the corporations. They really hold the key to where opportunities exist and really allow us to really unpack opportunities that early-stage companies in the state can help to meet and address. So what sets the process off are what we call discovery meetings, pretty intensive deep dives with each of the corporate partners, and it has to include a pretty senior team that's across the company. So we want the marketing folks, the innovation team, the maybe data and analytics folks. We want maybe the venture side if they have that. Any sort of insights into kind of across company where there are innovation needs, the more rich that data is, the better. Mm-hmm. So after these discovery meetings, and in that we generally, between 5 to 10. So we hear, I think I can say with some of the recurring areas that we know there's a lot of interest is around data analytics and predictive analytics always comes up, sensor technology, cybersecurity, app development, health, certainly, and health and wellness areas always have some interest. So even though we have a lot of different and diverse industry sectors and non-competing participants, there's often very similar threads of needs that they're having, which has been great data for us to access.
Mm-hmm.
So after we get this information, what we do is we anonymize the opportunity area list and we go out to what we call our community referral partner network. So this involves roughly 45 to 50 partners that each have a touch point with an early stage company and sort of are the first gate, if you will. So it's not an open call. Once we get these opportunity areas, we source them through our partners. And so those range from the universities and federal labs in the state, so both the tech transfer offices as well as the sort of entrepreneurship center programs and their tech parks, in addition to the incubators and accelerators in the state, the venture community, both the angel networks and the VC firms and their portfolio companies that might have a link with one of the areas. And then finally, the civic nonprofit, our peers that are also working either from a regional standpoint with early stage companies or chambers that also kind of provide that referral validation for us. And then they submit through kind of a referral process companies that then go through an intake process. So once the companies fill out their vitals, so we want to know information about what they do, their customers, their team, how much they've raised, other types of relevant information that ultimately go into our process where we do some vetting, and each company that gets through the screen gets an interview from our team, and then we assemble portfolios for each of the corporate partners. So generally there's about 25 to 35 companies that go into that portfolio that have been, again, everyone that is in there is vetted by us, and it's for us, so a process to really get relevance quicker. So the idea is that instead of a corporation having to go to the universities individually or the different community referral partners I mentioned, we're able to sort of scan the market in a pretty efficient way and then validate and sort of ensure that there's a potential fit there. So we do sort of topical diligence. We tell the company why they're being referred. And then of the 25 to 35, generally a third are selected to take part in a demo day on site at the corporation. And so they, the nice part about that process too is that the companies, the corporations, when they review the startups to see which ones are the best fits, they're able to, it's a password protected site, it's a digital portfolio, so they're able to sort of screen and have a number of folks in their company weigh in so that when the demo day comes around and they have, between 8 and 13 companies presenting, they're really meeting with those that they know could have an opportunity to match up with the company. So each of the demo days have gone a little bit differently. Some have held it kind of like a Shark Tank process. Others have gone a bit more kind of individual with the companies from a more kind of high-level technical perspective. In the case of Motorola, you had their entire engineering team came out in Chicago to visit. So they've been running in a different way. And then for us, the outcomes as a result of this really hit to a spectrum of engagement, everything from, mentorship and apprenticeship and maybe some of the softer partnership opportunities that might exist, all the way up to joint development agreements, pilot contracts, path to investment, and then, business opportunities and other sort of contract opportunities.
So, Mark, it sounds like this is a great opportunity for businesses. How do you go about the process of building those corporate partnerships to become part of the challenge? And how have they really responded to the challenge since you've kind of been through a couple years?
Yeah, I think the first group, it was a pilot round, so we were not we didn't charge any funding, and we were sort of they helped us also refine the process. And I think after that first group, we realized we were onto something. Each of the corporations told us how valuable the process was. It helped them, really access the new technologies, and I'll talk about some of the successes in a bit. But I think that first cohort really helped us get to a number of other corporations in the state that we wanted to target for this program. And so, you know, Illinois does have 32 Fortune 500 companies, and it was our goal to sort of touch everyone really, and to really get them into the program. So the next class that involved Exelon, ADM, and Hyatt, three real powerhouses, it allowed us, I think, to go to them with a pretty relevant and, I think, you know, great value proposition for them to think about how they source innovation. So the subsequent round, it expanded to State Farm, Microsoft, which is our first non-Illinois headquartered company, Danfoss, which is a manufacturer out of the Rockford area, actually a Danish manufacturer, and UL, formerly Underwriters Laboratories. And so I think the recruitment for us is the fit for the company. The timing has to be sort of right. Those that are kind of rethinking the way they source innovation, looking outside their walls with how they partner with early stage companies. Mm-hmm. And this program really, really provides relevance to them, I think, in a way that you know, isn't really something that has existed before, either in this state, and I think with what we're seeing nationally, you know, this program is a bit unique in that sense.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned one of the key terms in our field, which would be funding. So could you talk a little bit about kind of how the program is funded and kind of what's your long-term strategy to continue to have classes and continue to do the connections and matchmaking process?
Mm-hmm. So we started charging a sponsorship fee with the second round of $25,000, and that also kind of included membership into ISTC. So the ISTC itself is a member-driven nonprofit. We were created by the state of Illinois and have been supported by the state for many years, and the, you know, bringing together public, private partners, universities, federal labs, industry, and government has been part of our, I think, our success. And this program itself, I think, has been an added service offering for us. So in addition to the program sponsorship, what we're finding now in terms of growth is while we can run these programs, you know, they are very high touch, and they take a bit of time to do kind of the deep dive with the corporation. So we'll range between, you know, target between, you know, four to five in a round.
Mm-hmm.
But we now are getting some additional inbound requests that are a bit more for discrete areas that corporations are sourcing innovation. So we've invested some funding through the program revenue we've been able to bring in into a bit more sophisticated back-end system.
Okay.
So that we can, almost like a CRM system, so we have a better understanding of our database of companies, how they're tagged into kind of what they do, and then it allows us to better, you know, sort and search to meet needs that we're hearing coming in. So I think the opportunities for future growth will be to continue to do classes, but also to do more one-on-one relationships with companies that aren't tied to kind of the six-month cycle with demo days, but can be more one-on-one that a service offering that will also have a fee for service.
Very interesting. So when you're looking at these with the classes and with these individual connections, what are you tracking in that relationship? So what type of metrics? How do you really capture those? And are you going to make some of them public? And how do you provide those to stakeholders, including your membership community?
Yeah. So for us, success is defined, as I said, really on a range of outcomes. I think we went into this saying that we weren't going to just measure success by just a contract at the end of the day. I think for us it was, what is some of the connection points between these early stage companies and corporations that can be measured? And so for us it's sort of a scorecard for each corporation, and we generally check in on a quarterly basis after the demo day to really review how companies are either gaining traction or not within the company. So just if I give you the high-level numbers, we had kind of at the aggregate level about 350 companies that were referred to us. And this is just the first two rounds, so it doesn't include the current round. We had about 152 companies that we interviewed, 118 that went into one of the portfolios, 72 that were selected to present at the private demo days, and then 40 that have received some form of ongoing engagement. So that 40, it sort of was a nice figure just to show that, you know, more than half after the demo days are getting some kind of follow-on engagement. And then as of now, we have roughly 27 companies that have secured some sort of tangible outcome. And so, again, the way we've measured that is in mentor kind of arrangements, and a few have had sort of more formal mentorship programs. In the case of Allstate, they partner with a research company out of the research park at Urbana. Joint ventures or some sort of joint development agreement. I think we also look at NDAs that have been developed. In the case of ADM, they visited a number of researchers out of Northwestern University, and so there's a handful of NDAs in place there. And then path to investment. So one of the most significant win we've had to date has been with Molex, which is part of our initial round, made an investment in a strategic partnership with a company called New Current, which does wireless charging out of Northwestern University. And so that was sort of the first investment we saw. And so it's, again, speaks to the kind of the range of outcomes. And I think when we report back to the companies, they see the value of refreshing the portfolio so that we've sourced companies for them and we'll be able to continue to do that. And I should say from the startup perspective, even though some companies will not, there won't always be sort of a formal business partnership established at the end of this, what we kept hearing is that going through this process of pitching to the companies, and we did some coaching with them in advance to get them ready for the demo days, and I think the question they received there and the access that they had to a very high-level team in the corporations, even if there was no positive win at the end, they many told us the value of going through that process for us. So there was some of those sort of wins kind of along the way as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think that leads me to the final question, because we've been on here for a little bit, and I don't want to end. Really, what kind of lessons have you really learned from the program, especially if you were another state or region looking to build somewhat of a similar program, or just in general strengthen the ties between startups and large corporations? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I'd say there's really three main things that come to mind. One is we sort of called it business, not charity earlier, that this wasn't something that was done because it was a civic thing or something that the corporation should get involved with because it was, backed by the state. I mean, this was really about relevance, and I think delivering relevance to the corporations quickly, and obviously helping early stage companies have access to corporations around areas that matter. So I think the sort of one key thing is on that ensuring kind of relevance, and that it's not, charity is really a business, driven exercise. The second is, I think, the connectivity of the community. This program really stood apart even from other programs that existed in the state because of the partnerships we had with all of the referral partners. So the fact that all of the universities, all the different incubators, accelerators, co-working spaces, and the venture groups, they saw us kind of as a we were good partners, and they were good partners to us in both sense of providing kind of a funnel to us of companies, and there wasn't sort of this kind of ownership of, these are our companies or these are your companies. It was a way of just helping the community and these early-stage companies have better access. So I think the connectivity in the community is certainly was a lesson for us, and one that I would encourage other states to sort of build those partnerships. And then finally, just when you work with the corporations, I think what we learned along the way is that you needed to have, I would say, a high-level champion in the company, someone who could continue to keep it going and to be sort of that quarterback, and empowered to make decisions. Because if you're dealing with sort of a level in the company that can't make decisions, or they're not able to kind of corral the right folks needed, it just jeopardizes the success of the program. So I think having a cross-functional team and this sort of quarterback inside the company who could champion it made all the difference as well.
Thank you, Mark. I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us. And I also want to thank the listeners as they listen to this podcast. I think they're going to get a ton of great information out of the session. If the listeners want to learn more about ISTC or the Corporate Startup Challenge, they can visit the website at www.istcoalition.org. And for more information about the awards program, please visit sstiawards.org. Again, Mark, thank you for taking your time.
Great. Thank you. Happy to do it.
Thank you.